And to have the privilege of being in your new place. This is the first time I've been here, and it's just wonderful. This is a gift from the Lord to you. So enjoy it. And thank you so much. Thank you for leading us in worship tonight. Because if we have the Lord and we cry out to him, it makes all the difference in our life, doesn't it? Has somebody asked you that question already today? And where were you 10 years ago? 9-1-1. We were in Côte d'Ivoire, in the city of Yamoussoukro, a country now that's been racked by civil war for many years. It was around lunchtime at that particular time. Usually we had worked over there in West Africa for about 12 years, but here at this particular time, we were sitting in a restaurant eating pizza. Get that, pizza in Africa. And this particular restaurant had this satellite dish, a big, huge satellite dish. They didn't have any internet. And the television happened to be on. What happened? All of a sudden, well, there was another radio station on, RFI, Radio France Internationale, or TV5. And all of a sudden, I thought, is that some new video game that's being played? And a plane just came and crashed into that building. I had just been in New York just a little while back. Saw those great big towers. If you've ever been there and you looked up, they just carried on into the sky forever. Solid, strong, would never pass away. They turned it over to CNN. And another plane hit. What's happening? We went up to the city of Bouake. We were having meetings. Some people, and one of the children of the international workers that we had over there was in the bedroom. And she kept coming down. I thought, you know, how do the firemen, how do they get all the way up to the top to blow it out, to put out that fire? And then they said, the first one is collapsing. And the whole building started to collapse. And you've seen it repeated on the internet today, yesterday, and probably for many days to come. Not only was the United States shaken, there were people from Canada. I think there were some German people in there, some Swiss people, people from many nationalities that were in that building that day. To see people jumping out those windows, it was horrific. And your heart just ached to see that happen. The building just imploded. And you wondered. I thought that place was supposed to be permanent, to last forever. Who would think? But my friends, tonight, with all deep sadness for the loss of life and the hurt that that caused and continues to cause today, and not only that particular one, but all kinds of other travesties in the world. All those things. We think it'll last forever. But this world has but an illusion of permanence. An illusion of permanence. Kingdoms come. Kingdoms go. I'm a Canadian from Dutch heritage and German heritage and French heritage, and lived in Africa and work in Central Asia and Europe and all over the place. I'm not confused, just well mixed. But rich civilizations, rich histories, like this beautiful country of Germany. I love this country. It's beautiful. But the United States of America, They had to come to grips too with the fact that maybe we are not all that permanent as we thought. Is there something that's permanent? It has that illusion. But is it permanent? There's an illusion of security in our lives as well. But man is not fully sovereign over himself. Listen, the only secure place is in the hands of God and of Christ. For the kingdoms of our God and of our Christ will last forever and ever. And he will reign forever and ever. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now those are just buildings. And sad enough as it was, and the loss of many people's lives, but perhaps tonight, you don't even care about those buildings. There's hardly any compassion in your heart for that. And why is that? Because there's perhaps something in your own life. Something that's collapsed. I was part of a family. Mother and father were there. We were going to be a happy family forever, right? And now it's broken. Remember the one I loved, who said I would be faithful to the rest of my life, and all of a sudden, unfaithfulness happens. And it's like that whole building crashes around you. And the rubble is all over the place and you have no idea. And you're like one of those persons covered with sand and dust. And you say, is there any hope? That job that looks so promising. And all of a sudden the chef says, recession. Depression for you. And the hopes and the dreams are gone. That beautiful new Mercedes, or is it a BMW? Or I guess it's the Audi now, that's the best, eh? And all of a sudden you hit the wall. Never thinking that somehow that beautiful machine could end. My dream's gone. My hope's gone. Or you get a phone call from the doctor. It's not quite what we expected. Difficult circumstances in life. And it seems that the buildings, the life around us is collapsing. But there's hope. There's hope in Christ. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there is no longer any sea. And I saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be among them. Listen, And he alone shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And listen to this promise. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And may God be true and every man a liar. I guarantee you this, in a world that seems to have no guarantees, you can stake your life on that. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. My little kingdom comes. It's all so neat now, it will go. But he will remain. And your security and your strength and your joy and your purpose will put you on solid ground as you trust in him. Jesus also said, heaven and earth, do you know what's going to happen? Will pass away. What did he say would not pass away? My word. I didn't say that. Jesus said, my word. And every single thing that you find in there will be fulfilled. So I'm not going to talk and give you my own ideas. I'm going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to do that tonight, just for a few moments together. Has anybody here ever been jealous? Oh, we had a good confession already. That's a good prayer. Anybody ever had envy? Okay, it's a little bit different. Okay, you're very honest people. Welcome to humanity. Jealousy, says Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34, enrages a man. The word means to be intensely red. You know, your face gets all red. It's descriptive of one whose face is flushed as a sudden flow of blood announces that surge of emotion. You say, well, how does jealousy work? Listen, here it is. Here's the way it works. Listen, I love something very much. It could be a person, place, a thing. You know, you play those kind of games. Indeed, I love too much. I pursue it with zeal. I desire, in fact, to possess it completely. But the thing I love somehow slips out of my hands and passes on to someone else. I begin to experience the gnawing pangs of jealousy, and strangely, the feelings of zeal and love begin to change. And by that dark, transforming power of sin, my love turns to hate. And once I was open, happy, filled to the brim with exquisite delight, but no longer. But now I'm closed within a narrow compass of inner rage. See, that was Cain's sin. He was jealous of Abel. His face was red with emotions. His eyes filled with rage as God smiled on Abel's sacrifice and not his. And it wasn't until Abel's warm blood poured over Cain's hands did that jealousy subside. Envy. A little different than jealousy. What is envy? Envy is a painful and resentful awareness. Listen carefully. Envy is a painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by a strong desire to possess that same advantage. Envy wants what someone else possesses. Envy is sneaky and subtle. Thank you. Fame, things, reputation, abilities, talents. I wish I could play the piano or the guitar. Jealousy clutches and smothers, but envy is forever reaching longing, squinting, thinking and saying sinister sinuations, wanting something that is not quite yours. Very subtle. Sometimes a favorite method is the but approach. He's an excellent salesman, but he really isn't sincere. Now, she has a brilliant mind, but what a dull teacher. You know, that man is a great surgeon, unbelievable, but he doesn't mind charging you an arm and a leg. Someone gives a generous gift, and we mutter, obviously, well, he's probably just trying to make an impression. Envy is a tension often found among professionals, the gifted, the highly competent. If you saw the movie Titanic, you have the aristocracy, and in comes this other lady, and they say, new money, as if that makes a difference. Doctors, singers, artists, lawyers, businessmen and women, students, authors, preachers, education, public figures. You see, it was envy that sold Joseph into slavery. Brothers. Brothers. A whole bunch of them, 12. And then this guy comes along with the nicest coat. See all the colors? And they're just like, that little son of a gun. Let's take them. Throw them down in the pit. Let's sell them. Gone. Out of here. We don't want that. We want our father's unique and own affection. Envy drove David into exile. Can you imagine your own son, Absalom, who wanted his father's position and power and wealth, and kicks his own father out, and he has to run for his life, and then lays with all the concubines so everybody can see, like, in your face. Envy threw Daniel into the lion's den. Why? Because of envy. And you know what? Envy put Jesus on trial. Jesus. You say, what? Read it. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Pilate, it says, talking about, for he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. The religious leaders, everybody was listening to Jesus, for he spoke with authority. Having some big struggles with envy? Because someone seems to be a step or two ahead of you? Or somebody has something? Anybody ever see the movie Lord of the Rings? Is it Mr. Frodo? Middle Earth. Nice hair. Beautiful suit. He looks just the gentleman, doesn't he? And then the ring appears. I almost jumped out of my seat. Do you remember that? And all of us said, can I see it? No, you can't. Can I see it? And this gentleman all went, he changes. But he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. And it's that far from the surface with any and every one of us. Until finally you become like Gollum. My precious, and you lose your hair and you're ugly. You become ugly, right? Envy, jealousy, a fine example. And it can touch any of our hearts, including religious people. So, you say, where in the world are you getting this from? Listen, If you have your Bibles, turn to them. And if not, listen to God's word. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. John chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. And sorry, I don't have it on the PowerPoint. But you can check it out at home if you don't have your Bible. Now, after these things, you see, Jesus had been talking to Nicodemus. Big talk. He was like Stephen and Uli, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. Tired. Had a good talk. But after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea. That's the southern part of Israel. And there he was spending time and baptizing. So Jesus and his disciples are baptizing. Actually, it says, it was in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that John was making and baptizing more Jesus than John," verse 2, it says, "although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were." But the group, they were baptizing people. You had a baptism here just 2 weeks ago? Fantastic. Baptizing, you know, right in there. So, it's good, eh? This is great. People come to Lord, hallelujah. Okay, verse 23. "And John also," that's his cousin, John. "John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim. Because there was much water there," helpful, "and they were coming and were being baptized." Well, John had not yet been thrown into prison. Don't know exactly what happened in verse 25, but "there arose, therefore, a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him.'" Listen to what John says. "John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it is being given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease.'" So this is a story. Jesus and his disciples are baptizing. Not Jesus, but his disciples. John and his disciples were baptizing nearby. You say two is better than one, right? Yay! People are repenting, coming to Christ or to God, and like everybody, this is wonderful, right, Pastor? Pastor, yeah. Like, yes! Doesn't happen that way. A discussion starts. A Jewish person comes up to John's disciples, and it doesn't say what happened. But get your little gray cells working, if you're human. They probably said, "Well, you know the way you're doing it, like, you don't go all the way down. Or you just sprinkle them, or, well, no, that's the way it is." And somehow there's a discussion, and at last this guy says, "Well, you think you're good? Well, why is everybody going to him?" That other guy, he says, that other guy, they can't even bring themselves to say his name, Jesus. You know, the other guy, the other church. That was a complaint. Jesus was having too much success. He was doing too well.
jealousy,
envy, more baptisms than us. And I suppose to be a Baptist, that was probably bad news. They didn't like to see their master, and they included, to be second place, feel abandoned. Once you were in the spotlight, so they feel discouraged. Somebody's better than me. Somebody gets higher marks than I do. Somebody plays the violin better than I do. Somebody's got a nicer car than I do. He's the only one. And she's got those new Prada glasses. And she looks good, and I don't have them, and I don't have the money. Second. You watch the Olympics? Yay, first. Second? Loser. Oh, sorry, don't say that. Silver, you know. Who wants to be silver? Okay. But this is the amazing part of the story. John's reaction. Because the disciples come up to him. John's disciples. And what did they say? He who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, said, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. And John said this, listen, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given from heaven. John could have felt injured, neglected, unjustifiably forgotten, sorry for himself, not a fair deal, envy, jealous. This is my turf. I got here first. Move on. But no, that wasn't his reaction at all. It's great. And he says to his disciples, disciples, listen. You missed the point. Don't you know who I am? He's the anointed. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's first. Whoa. To be able to say that somebody else is first? That's amazing. He's the anointed one of God. He's actually, it says, the bridegroom. I'm just his friend. The best man. Do you have a term for that in German? The best man? What is it? Trauzeuge? Okay. The best man. The bride belongs to the best man, right? No. Didn't happen yesterday, right? Best man looks good too. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. I've done weddings in many parts of the world, or a few. And I've seen all kinds of others. You seen the movie, While You Were Sleeping? Sleepless in Seattle? See, I put my time in with my wife. And you know how the... Sorry, we just... It's okay. Isn't she great? Watch those lovely movies. Sorry, we'll have to deal with this later. And it's all tense before the ceremony, even when you do the ceremonies and all that kind of thing. Remember the African ones? It's all tense, and you see the best man, and he's sitting there and waiting, and he's got the ring, and he's hoping he's not going to fall down, and hoping that somehow the bridegroom shows up. You know, what am I going to do if he doesn't? And he sees him come, and the beautiful bride, and you see them together, and he gives the ring so that they can come together, and it's great. And you say, you may kiss the bride, and everybody's, ah, yay! And there's all kinds of happy. happy time. Try it, you'll like it, if you haven't already. And then there are the speeches. And the best man is asked usually to give a speech. Gentlemen, if you're ever a best man, let me give you a tip. Don't talk about yourself. Or don't put the other person down. Build the bridegroom up. And you'll win. It's not about you. Christ is the bridegroom. The people, you, the church, is the bride. John was just the friend, the best man. And he said, "Behold, the bridegroom." And what does he say? "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, and I must decrease." And John says, "Listen, I'm just the friend. Christ the bridegroom, people the bride, I'm just so excited to see them come together. And I don't mind playing second fiddle. You are who you are by the grace of God, and don't try to be more or less than you are." Many people have a surestimation de soi. How do you say that in English? A higher estimation of self. Some people have a low self-esteem. I can't do anything. Both lead to envy and to jealousy. And the Bible says, have a reasonable estimation of yourself. As a matter of fact, don't even think about yourself. Enjoy who you are. You don't have to compare. And you know, one of the biggest gods, and that's another whole subject, maybe somebody can preach it. The new ism in your generation is not communism or socialism or all these other isms. It's consumerism. Listen, consumerism. To buy things with money you don't have to impress people you don't even like. And the industry is spending hundreds of billions of dollars. If you're a marketing person, forgive me, but hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, which bombard you on the internet and television and newspapers, to somehow make you feel that if you buy this, and if you have iPad 2 upgrade 64, sorry, you'll really be connected. He's trying to convince me. Right? And if I just get that style, you know, the latest whatever from whatever store, all the guys are going to look. And I'll be a step ahead of the next girl and maybe catch his eye. Or my muscle car will turn the head of somebody and say, "Whoa." Don't think that they don't know that envy, jealousy is at the root of sin. And even in a church, it's a human problem. And guess what? Everything looks just fine on the outside. But you go home, and it's in your heart. And it's like one of those towers is crumbled. it has an illusion of permanence. One day, perhaps you had a six-pack. But today, the chest has dropped down into the drawers. Sorry. It happens. And the scriptures say, outwardly, we're wasting away day by day. But inwardly, we can be renewed by the Spirit of God. Isn't that great? And the things of this world will pass away. But knowing Christ and talking about Him and pointing to Him will last forever. So how do you get over envy and jealousy? Number one, be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Feeling secure and comfortable with where you are and who you are. God made you, and He doesn't make junk. He made you special. And people can say all kinds of things, and the devil can say all kinds of things in your head. Don't listen to it. Be thankful for your gifts, your looks, your abilities, your history, your family. Difficult as it sometimes can be. But these are wonderful things that God uses to shape us to be the person that He wants us to be. Not having to be better, to go farther, or own more, or prove to the world to reach to the top, or. Just the friend of the bridegroom. Second thing. Have a proper perspective of yourself and your role. He must increase. I must decrease. In terms of attention. And that doesn't make me any worse. As a matter of fact, it makes you feel great. One of the things about getting older is maybe God teaches some of us a few of those things. Don't always get over it. But you don't have to prove things to everybody. God, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thankful for it. Simple, but true. And you know, when you are thankful for who you are, and look at, I'm not the Christ, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom, you don't have to worry about those things. And all of a sudden, a sunlight of freedom, air fresh and clean, comes all over you. All that other baggage goes away. Don't have to think about yourself. But think about Christ. An old missionary once said, and somebody said of him, sorry, he had gone off to China. And for over 30 some odd years, his name was Hushed. He worked. He loved the workers like Home and Nazira and their children. And knew them by name and helped them. But nobody really knew him or his name. They forgot about him. Because you see, when that stone was there, and when the masons started to chisel on that stone, they put one date And they put another date. It's okay. Another date. The beginning and the end. But then there's the dash in between. It's not those two dates that matters. It's the dash in between. And you know what they said about the dash in between? They said this. He lived to be forgotten, so Christ would be remembered. Listen. He lived to be forgotten, so Christ would be remembered. Blows your brain. But I guarantee you this. You will have life. An amazing life. And that's the point. Home, Nazir. We're so thankful for you. You're joining a team in Central Asia. I know those team members. And I know you as a church had a farewell. And thank you. They're leaving. God won't forsake them. But what's their job? Oh, Home and Nazir are here. Great. Now things are really going to happen. Hey, I'm here. The party's begun. Yay. Look at my language. Look at what I can do. Oh, look at, hey. And that's a natural human thing. You want to do what you do well. And may God give you abilities and grace. But you know what a real international worker does? He lives to be forgotten. Why? Because he wants to be the best man, not the bridegroom. And if you can just find this person and introduce him to Jesus and bring them together, my joy will be complete. That's what it's about. And your joy will be complete. Well, that's him. Well, what about in the office tomorrow? Or at school or at home? Can I live that way? This is bizarre. I don't even hear this on television. Live to be forgotten? So Christ will be remembered? Huh. What strange things are these to our ears? The book. He must increase. I must decrease. And everything this world has poured into you wires you the opposite way. I must increase. I must. I precious. I own long some better. And you will just get sucked into muck. And you will be depressed. And your world will come down like those towers. I promise you this. But live for Christ. And you'll gain the world. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jesus said these things. The Bible said these things. And it's great. And time is finished. Because blessed is a speaker who doesn't go on forever, for he will be invited back. Listen. Bless you guys. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of you that you actually came here not to listen to me, but to cry out to God, to cry out to Christ. And no matter what happens in your life, even with God, the downs are up. So if your building crumbles down, God is not finished. nor life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present or things to come will never, ever be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And the book says that. Strength and courage to decrease and increase him. Bless you all.